Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right, welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. If you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
Kenny Wilkerson. I'm in North Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. I'm in the oil and gas industry, drill oil wells.
Awesome. So how did you get into this industry in the first place?
Man, I really had not a lot of choice. I went to the military out of high school, and I'm from East Texas, from just outside of Tyler, from a town called Henderson, Texas. Growing up, there's not a lot of industry there besides oil and gas and timber. My father was in the oil and gas industry. Everybody in my family was in the oil and gas industry. A lot of my family was in the timber industry. I did a lot of that work when I was a teenager, and that isn't something I wanted to do long term. So here you go. That's where I started.
Awesome. So I guess, like, what exactly do you do today?
Well, I do a lot of things. I own a consulting firm. I contract, design, implement drilling programs for oil and gas companies, Exxon type company, all the way down to small mid majors. I do a lot of wells. I drill a lot of wells for private equity groups. Guys raise funds. They want to drill, quote unquote, wildcat wells, looking for new leases, looking for new exploration, that sort of thing.
For sure. But I guess, like, getting into consulting, I'm sure obviously that you have lots of experience. So it's like, what did you do before to, I guess, like, you know, qualify yourself to be able to consult people on these high level projects?
Yeah, I started at the bottom, at the very, very bottom. I hired on as a roustabout offshore for a company out of Houston by the name of Global Marine Drilling. It turned to Santa Fe. I believe it's all Transocean now. But yeah, I started at the bottom there. I lived in Baytown, Texas. Used to work on a rig called the Celtic Sea for a long time. That was in 99, I believe, something like that. Stayed out there for a few years, left, come on land, went to work for a company as a driller on a land rig for Scandrill out of Tyler, Texas. We were doing a lot of work for Exxon, XTO, I guess it was XTO at the time, that sort of thing. I left East Texas due to the heat on it, honestly, like literally no other reason. I was kind of burnt out on it, the humidity, and I went to Colorado. I moved to Fort Collins, Colorado in 2003. Started pushing tools for a company there as a rig manager for Casa Drilling. I watched rigs for them for a couple of years. I left to a friend of mine. He started a new drilling company called Frontier Drilling at the time. Built a rig, managed some rigs for him for a couple of years there in the mountains, in the Rocky Mountains. I got an offer for a drilling supervisor position for Noble Energy. I think I was 26 or 7 at the time. I wasn't quite ready, but they threw a lot of money at me that I couldn't turn down, So you either ready or you bypass, So I went consulting for Noble, stayed there for a couple of years, got fired. had a kind of a, said some things I shouldn't say to my boss at the time. Moved on, went to work for Hess, Amerada Hess, watching rigs in North Dakota, sold it for Hess, stayed there for a few years. I love that job. I worked for some of the greatest people I ever had in my life. One of my best buddies in the world took a recent drilling engineering job for a company called Whiting Oil and Gas out of Denver. He was starting to drill in North Dakota. He had never drilled there before. He wanted me to come over, help him out, make him feel more comfortable. He was a brand new engineer. So I did. I went to Whiting. I think that was in 2009, I believe, or something, somewhere around there. Started hiring other consultants kind of by accident. I swear I built a $28, $30 million a year company by pure coincidence. I didn't try to do it. I was watching rigs for Whiting. We needed to hire some more consultants. My boss, my buddy, says, "Hey, we need some guys, some people." So I said, "Yeah, obviously I did." I hired a guy or two, for him. And then, long story short, he's like, "Look, I'm tired of, doing all these MSAs and insurance and blah, blah, blah for all these guys. He said, why don't you just hire them through your company? So, that was a 1099 hand. So I, obviously I had an LLC, but, not a real company per se, just insurance and LLC. So long story short, I started hiring these guys, working through me, getting paid, paying them, just essentially transferring money from the old company to them. And the rest was history. I wound up hiring, I think, at the bulk of everything. We were working for about 11 different oil and gas companies at one time, right at 70 consultants, drilling and completion consultants I had on payroll. We did that for a long time, a good 10 years, probably. I left Whiting, things slowed down at the end, somewhere around 2018 or so. I started my own oil company, a company by the name of Kodak Oil and Gas. We were raising funds. Private equity money. A gentleman I'd hired knew of another guy that was selling an oil company that he had started, Trail Ridge Energy Partners 2. He was just about to sign the papers, sell that company, and start his next company. He was really strong on, the management land side, that type of side. He had no operations team. I myself had been working all operations my whole life. So we had two companies that were kind of opposite sides of the spectrum there. So long story short, we merged his company with Kodak, which made all the sense in the world, right? It kind of gave us a full management team, went on the road with a suit and tie, doing the road shows, chasing money, begging and pleading. We finally got funded. We got $100 million out of a private equity group out of Los Angeles. I had put my house up for sale and it sold, obviously, in Colorado in a day, I think. That being said, once we got the funding, I was planning on moving my family to Dallas, to Grapevine. We have an office down there in Grapevine, just right down the street from the big indoor water park there. Anyway, we wind up getting funding on a non-op deal. So here I was, a COO of a company that didn't operate anything. So that didn't make any sense. I'm not going to draw 40 grand a month salary for how long, until somebody says, hey, this guy doesn't do anything. So long story short, we'd already sold our house. We're ready to move. And we had bought a condo in North Myrtle Beach in 2008, I believe, or somewhere around there. We spent a lot of time over here, usually a month in the summer, a month in the winter. So I told my wife, I was like, well, let's just move to Myrtle Beach. So here we are. We bought a house down by the water, and we've been here for going on 5, 6 years. I think it'd be 6 years this year. And I love it. I love it every day here.
Awesome. So I guess, like, as of right now, like, what does a typical day look like for you?
To be honest, right now, there's a gap in there. I started another service company in between there, a company by the name of Blackstone Energy in West Texas, in Odessa. Started that company, built it up over a year and some change, 2 years maybe, I don't know. I wind up selling out. A partner of mine, he was a 50-50 partner with me, a good friend of mine in Colorado, like a brother to me. I wind up selling out. Come home, I was tired of being gone from home, and then COVID hit, right? And so, of course, I had still consultants running at the time. I still have consultants now, but with COVID, it really, like everybody else, it just shut down. It took us from here to nothing. And so for probably a year and a half, I didn't do much of anything. Fish, golf, play cornhole. I like to play cornhole. Kind of took it easy. For the first time in my life, I had been home, at any long stretch. I was making it to baseball games and football games and so forth. My daughter's cheer competitions and, in my whole life, I've never been home ever, unfortunately. And it was honestly, I missed COVID. It was great. It was some of the best time of my life. I hate to say that, with everything, but for me personally here, it was fantastic for me and my family. So, that being said, for the last year, things have been pretty slow for me. I'm currently looking for my next project. I don't know what that is, be it another startup or, maybe, an employee job. I don't know. I get a lot of job offers, but I can't really, I can't just nail it down what I want to do. I'm even open to something out of this industry. I just want something that, obviously my skill set matches in an operations level, but I want something that's exciting too. Fortunately, I'm not in a financial situation where I'm We're comfortable here. So I've been doing, honestly, a lot of out of the country consulting work. We're currently doing a project in Belize that we're fixing to start drilling, I think, in probably 3 weeks. I've been working on that. I got a brand new project that's really big. Honestly, you're the first person that's ever heard of it, to be honest. It's in Kazakhstan. I've not told a single person in the world this. I haven't even told my wife. I've been working on that for the last week and a half. It's brand new, hoping to kind of get started full bore on that in maybe 60 days. That's their goal. I think it's a little shot in the dark to get it done that quick, but either way, we're gonna get started on that. I've never worked in Kazakhstan, never been to Kazakhstan, so that's interesting. I'm gonna send some guys over there. I'll spend a little time over there myself, maybe bounce back and forth, but it's a long-term project. This is a 3-4 year project. So I've been working on that, doing a lot of drilling programs, writing casing products, mud, oil and gas, mud properties, that type of thing, bit programs, sort of that type of stuff.
For sure. So obviously now in 2024, many people are using different types of high level technology, AI or other types of technology. So I guess just from your perspective, like how does technology play a role in the oil and gas industry?
Obviously, it plays a role like anything else. The AI, at least up until this point, hasn't done much of nothing. My wife's in real estate. I do a lot of that type of stuff too, real estate stuff. And it does play a big role in that. She uses it all the time. I mean, for simple as listings or just gathering information, right? When she's chasing these leads and whatnot, and it's pretty amazing. And I do assume at some point, well, obviously the oil and gas industry is gonna utilize that tool too. I don't know when or where or how. If I did, I would make some money. I'd probably buy some stock. But yeah, to up to this point, at least from my standpoint, no, we haven't really used any of that. Now, I assume it will probably come into this industry probably first on the completion side, the downstream, the fracking, that type of thing. That's not what I do. I'm on the, what's quote unquote upstream. We drill the wells. But I guess short answer, not nothing really yet. Long answer, I know it's coming. I just don't know where.
For sure. So what would you say is like the biggest challenge that you currently face in your business today?
People, it's always people. Same as any industry, I think. Anytime you deal with employees or contractors or what have you, it's always people. Be it you can't find qualified people, or you do find qualified people. I'm sure you're familiar. You get the greatest guy in the world doing the greatest job in the world, and the next word out of his mouth is what's next, right? Everybody is same. Everybody's trying to make the most they can make for themselves, for their families, and besides money, everybody wants to move up the ladder. As soon as you give a kid a promotion, even a quote unquote something he's not quite ready for, he's a young guy, you give him this position, the next words out of their mouth is always, what's next? What can I do now? Where can I go now? And it's a never-ending battle. You're nonstop fighting that. Your company steal employees for, literally 50 cents an hour. I've seen people change jobs. I mean, honestly, it sounds crazy. These guys are making $100-some thousand a year, and they change jobs for, 50 cents, 75 cents an hour. And I never recommend it, but I do understand it. I do understand it. I'm not one of those get off my lawn guys. I get it. Everybody wants to make the money. I was never a job hopper per se. I never left a job chasing money in my life. So I always kind of recommend against it to those guys. I'm like, you go to a new company, you're starting at the bottom. Whether you're at the actual bottom or not, it doesn't matter. You're the brand new guy on the block. You're new, and then the guy that's behind you is gonna get a the same raise you got because he's gonna move up too. But he's still here. He's been here. So yeah, it's always people. And then obviously you got to deal with any industry, the family aspect of it. The oil and gas industry, people are gone a lot from home. Unfortunately, we never drill wells in, Maui. Nowhere that we drill wells is anywhere that anybody wants to go. So, people are gone and they're away from their wives and missing family reunions. There's no days off for Christmas and Thanksgiving and birthdays and and it wears on people. It does. The best hands in the world, they get tired of it. Their wife gets tired of it. Their kids get tired of not seeing their mother or their father or whatever, and so that's easily our biggest battle.
For sure. So, what would you say is like the one biggest piece of advice that you wish you knew before you got started?
Well, I wish I would have knew about Apple. I would have put all my money in that for my whole life. I've been asked that question before, and honestly, I don't know. I literally have no idea. I kind of wish I would have got sometimes more into the technology side of the industry, I guess. As in, these a lot of people make a tremendous amount of money with new technology, just like any other industry. And
Sure.
a lot of these guys were fortunate enough to come into this industry on that side. Maybe they made less money up front. Obviously they're startup companies, and but in the long run, there's a tremendous amount of money to be made. Easier money, less pressure. Less gone from home, less hours. On the technology side, specifically frac and drilling tools. And if I could go back and tell myself, hey, maybe it's best to make, 50 grand a year less for, 3 years, 5 years, whatever it is down the road, and try to end the big picture, I guess.
For sure. So if somebody's watching this and they wanted to reach out to you, do you mind sharing your website or social media, I guess, best ways to get in contact with you?
My website is I'm not exactly, it's WilkersonConsultingLLC.com, I believe. Obviously you can reach me on there. Hell, they can call my personal cell phone number. I put it on the internet all the time. It's 970-218-4399. And I will tell you this, the one thing the oil and gas industry does provide is there's a place for everybody. Right. I mean, I'm telling you, everybody, men, women, black, white, Hispanic, I don't care. It doesn't matter. Smart guys, extremely intelligent guys, and, guys that, people that are not the brightest, and there's somewhere for everybody. And they can make a good living. Some of the very best hands you ever meet in your world are, 50 something year old motor men. They never moved up two spots in their whole life in the whole industry, and they make great money, and they don't want to move up. That's where they're comfortable, and they're literally they make the industry go. So, they're more than welcome to reach out with me. I do tend to hire a higher level employees as opposed to entry levels, but I am willing to help anybody, at least try to steer them the right direction, to where they can get a job, a Halliburton, a Schlumberger, any drilling contractor, all those type people. They're always, they do hire people right out of college, right out of high school, wherever. People looking for a change right out of prison. We got them my whole career. I've seen them. These guys walk out of prison. They've been in prison for 5 years or whatever because they made, some mistake, and long story short, they're making 100 grand a year working, 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off with insurance and benefits. So it is an avenue for a lot of people.
Awesome. Well, Kenny, thank you so much for your time today.
All right, buddy. I appreciate it.
Thanks. All right,
Thank you,
bye.
sir.